So if you just joined us, welcome to Radio Veritas on the Jason Institute Hour. As I promised you, I will be talking to Ray this morning, and me and Ray will be talking about the controversial Mandela book. Good morning, Ray, and welcome to our show.
Good morning.
Ray, I want us to talk about this book. I haven't read the book, but I read a lot of things and I heard a lot in the news about the book. So the book is titled Mandela's Last Years, written by Dr. Vijay Ramlakhan.
That's right.
So why the book now? Why now? Why was it published now? What do you think about that?
Well, who is Vijay Ramlakhan? Now, excuse me. Vijay Ramlakhan was the Surgeon General of the SANDF. So he was the top doctor. And what happened in Madiba's last year or so, Surgeon General came forward and he sort of took care of Madiba. He made sure that Madiba was okay. He also attended to him as the attending surgeon to make sure that Madiba was comfortable, and also as well to prolong his life, to make sure that he had health issues, all sorts of health issues. And there are a few stories, backstories, Pam, that I'm not sure if you are aware of. There were the story about the ambulance. Deborah Patter actually uncovered the story. The story of the ambulance that they were transporting him to another hospital
that
one night.
Fire.
It broke down. It broke down at the side of the road. And he was there on the side of the road for about an hour. We're talking about Madiba now.
Yes.
And these are the kind of stories that have come out. But anyway, so he writes this book. He writes this book about Madiba's last moments. And the big problem is, it's threefold, really. The big problem is when it comes down to who was at the bedside when Madiba passed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's plucked a few guitar strings, because Madiba passes away, and according to the book, Graca Machel, his wife, wasn't at the bedside. Winnie Madikizela-Mandela was.
Yes.
Now, she's come forward and she said, look, I've got no part in this book. I'm not a part of this whole thing whatsoever. Mm. But the problem is, if Graca Machel wasn't there, then that sort of creates a bit of a problem. And I think that's at the heart of everything. Anyway, so that's the one thing. Another element is as well, did he get permission to write this book by the SANDF?
Yes.
Right? And also by the Mandela family. Mandela family says, no, we want it to be withdrawn right now. However, we have it on good authority at Eyewitness News that there was quite a bit of discussion between the Mandela family and Vijay Ramlakhan.
So he says that he got a confirmation from a family member to do this,
to write
the book. So now, my question would be, then who is the person who gave him the consent to write the book?
Well, that's the thing. Whoever that person is needs to be identified. We don't know yet. That person needs to be identified, and Vijay Ramlakhan needs to say it was this person, and this is what's happened. It's very unfortunate, because I'm sure that the book is truthful, and the book is out there now. And the bottom line is, I mean, I remember the day that Madiba died. It was a night. It was getting that call at about 10 o'clock at night. And it was the strangest thing, because I'd just gone to sleep. I had an early night and turned in to go to sleep. And my phone went. And a New Zealand radio station phoned me and said, we would like you to chat about the death of Nelson Mandela. And I said, absolutely. Phone me back in 15 minutes. They said, not a problem. To which I ran upstairs, put the TV on, and it was everywhere. And we were all caught unawares about what was happening. That was the thing. And maybe Graca Machel was as well. The whole country was. We knew that he had been ill. I remember on numerous occasions being at work and having meetings and people saying, oh, Madiba's on his last. Madiba's going to go. We had the whole M plan, the Mandela plan, what would happen when he went. Because radio stations have to be ready for this. We have to have obits and those kind of things. And the only reason is because we need to honor the person and we need to talk about their life and not be caught unawares. So we didn't know. And it was that night.
I think like the book, it's a good idea that the book came out, because it will sort of like settle down the dust between speculations that happened before Mandela died. You would remember there were maybe things, rumors being said that Mandela died before the actual day. And other people would say that Mandela didn't really make it out of Robben Island. So I think in the book...
You know what? And Elvis is also really alive and sort of alive and kicking in Las Vegas. I think, you know, people need to put that to rest. There was a lot of speculation about his health, though, because they got to the point where a lot of people thought, is he so compos mentis? Because he was sort of sitting there. And I'm not sure if you remember, there was the press photographer who went up and took a picture and the flash went off right in his face. And there's a big outcry about that. But, you know, just to cut a long story short, he was sitting there and he wasn't sort of with it. He was sort of, he was struggling a little bit. So there are all sorts of conspiracy theories, I'm sure, do come out about this. But the bottom line is, the official line is that he passed away that night and this is what happened. And that book puts out all of those conspiracy theories to rest.
And, okay, now my question would be, I'm going back to the concerned by family. Who then do we regard, as family now? Because now Grace Michelle says she didn't confirm, she doesn't know about the book, she didn't confirm the book. So now it could have been someone else. In this sort of things, who should be in charge of doing that?
That's a good
Which
question.
Part of family should be that? What is family now?
Well, who's in charge of the family? Who's the head of the family? And you've had Manla Mandela putting his hand up to say he's the head of the Mandela clan.
Yes.
We've had Grace Michelle saying, well, I'm the widow. What about me? We've got the daughters. We've got Zinzi. We've got all the daughters. So it is a bit of a four-way challenge. You've got Winnie Madikizela-Mandela, who says, well, you know what? We actually weren't divorced anyway, legally. And she has sort of challenged that whole thing, saying that I've been his only and one and only wife culturally. So we've got all these different aspects that come with this. And that's why she's also laid claim to the whole Mandela heritage and the home as well, saying, well, actually, according to the law, it goes to me.
Yeah. And I also see that there are charges that Grace is talking about. She's thinking about maybe pressing charges against the doctor. Do you think charges like that, doctor-patient confidentiality, does it really apply considering that Mandela was a public figure?
Well, there's always the right to know. And we have that in journalism. So say, for instance, somebody is arrested. We do it from that point of view. Somebody's arrested. We have to wait for them to appear in court. Right? And then they can be identified. If it's a sexual offense, they've got to plead to that charge and then they can be identified. In this case, you know, there is doctor-patient confidentiality. They take the Hippocratic Oath. I'm not a lawyer. I suppose you'd have to get a lawyer on the show to tell you this, but I'm sure there may be some sort of legal recourse. And if that was broken, that could be some sort of civil suit, but you'd have to speak to a lawyer about that and get the expert advice.
And I also see that the doctor, I read an article where the article talks about the ambulance that was carrying, that, as you mentioned earlier, that was carrying Mandela to hospital that broke down. So I think somewhere it talks about it catching fire, and he denies the ambulance catching fire. Somewhere there's just a bit of confusion there. So now, as a person who's sitting there having read the book, I'm confused about whether there's the level of truth in the book.
No, I certainly don't think that the good doctor would lie. I think that he knows what's going on. And being in that sort of high position that he was at the SA Medical Services, I sincerely doubt so he would get the right story. I think at the time, though, you probably find, like I said, a lot of people coming out with theories. It caught fire. It did this. It caught that. Former President Nelson Mandela wasn't burnt at all. But yeah, I'm sure there's also a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't know.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. And it just, you know, those stories will continue to come out. I think it's atrocious that the ambulance did break down at the side of the road. Look, ambulances do break down.
Yeah.
A lot of people may say, look at our healthcare system. They're not surprised. If you've been to Charlotte Macleaka Hospital lately, just walk in the front door and see what you see. So, exactly. So, I think a lot of people may say that's not surprised whatsoever.
And then there are charges by that may be facing the doctor. Do we have maybe other charges that may be facing maybe the publisher?
Penguin Random House have withdrawn the book.
Yes.
All right. They should have done their checks and balances. I think, first of all, they should have said, do you have permission from the Mandela family? If you do, who are they? Who has given permission? Is it written? Always have a paper trail. Very important. So if it was Manla Mandela, if it was Grace Michelle, whoever it was, we need written consent. Do you have consent from the Defence Force? Because I know in the Defence Force, you can't just go writing about things. You can't. You need to get that written consent.
Yes.
But if that written consent is there, then the good doctor must just come forward with it and present it. Simple as that.
Then, you remember then, I'll ask you, why now? Why the book now?
That's a good question. I think only the good doctor could probably answer that. Mm. I think maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. It has been a few years since this has happened.
Yes, it's been 3 years.
Various people have written their own books, and maybe he just decided it was time. I think it may have something to do with him stepping down from the Defence Force. It may have something to do with that. Maybe coming to the point where he's writing his own memoirs. But you'd have to ask him that. But I think it does have something to do with his career maybe ending and coinciding with, well, you know what, let's write a book and let's talk about exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, Ray, you've been in the media for a very long time, and you've reported things on Mandela from his days in prison to him dying and all of that. But then now my next question will be, what do you think that looking back Mandela, what do you think he would think about the current issues that we're facing here in this country now?
Oh, I don't think he'd be very happy whatsoever. I think he'd be quite angry, really. If you look at what we are facing, and just yesterday, the day before, the parliamentary inquiry into Eskom, and now they're going to expand it into Denel, into Transnet, into the other parastatals. And if you have a look at state capture, if you look at the SACC, the SA Council of Churches, if you look at OUTA, and all the documents that they've submitted about the state capture, and you hear about it all the time, state capture, what is this? But it appears to be one family that has come to this country and just managed to get their tentacles into everything. And they've done this. And billions and billions and billions of rands have been sort of kicked back to and fro. If you have a look at the amount of corruption that has been ongoing within government, if you have a look at our very own president, the Nkandla scandal, his own $240 million improvements to his home, if you have a look at the arms deal, if you have a look at all this rampant corruption, it's actually disgusting. In a word, it's terrible, it's disgusting, because you have a look at this, and I think if former President Nelson Mandela was around and looking at this, I think, I can't speak for him, but I think he would say, President Jacob Zuma, it's time to step down, time to step aside. Yesterday, I chatted to the DA's leader, Musi Maimane. They are pushing ahead with their case. In September, President Zuma's corruption case goes to the appeals court. They will then decide whether these 789 charges, whether they need to stand in a court of law. The High Court has already ruled against him. The appeals court now needs to rule. I'm listening to some constitutional law experts. They don't see why those charges will not be approved by the appeals court. And if that happens, we'll then be having a president who is facing all those charges, a sitting president facing about 789 charges. There's a huge problem there. At what point will he decide it's time to step down, time to go, because I can't do this? And at what point will he be impeached and told to go? Now, we've got a motion of no confidence coming up. Will it be a secret ballot? We don't know. Vuleka Mbete hasn't said a thing. But on the 9th of August, MPs have got a chance to say, no, sir, this is not acceptable. And a lot is going on. I have no doubt, Pam, no doubt that he will go at some point, be it even be it 2019, but he will go. The big question I have, after he goes, and after all this rot has been exposed, which it has, who's going to be facing charges and who's going to be going to prison? Because I don't think the South African public must just leave it here. We can't just leave it here. Too much money's gone and too much has happened. People need to go to prison.
I hope our president will do the good thing just in memory of Madiba. So, Ray, thank you so much for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, Pam.
I really hope we'll talk to you next time. So now we're going to listen to a piece of music by Hillsong. I love you so.